Hello everyone and welcome to another Press Start podcast. I'm your host, Stuart Lang, and I've got an exciting guest from the FPG alumni with me tonight. But before we started, I just wanted to apologise to listeners. It's been a couple of weeks without a show. There's been quite a lot of change and upheaval in my personal life. And well, some of you may know that it sounds a little bit shitty to say, considering this is coming from the Radulich and Broadcasting Network. But yeah, just had a few things to deal with that's involving me moving city on my own, which is awesome. Really looking forward to it. And yeah, really excited to get back into giving you guys a regular show. Also, FPG News, as an aside, has kind of stopped publishing new content daily. So there's still the archive there, still a lot of great stuff on it. And if you continue to subscribe to the podcast network, Two Scots Drinking Lots is going to continue over the next few weeks. So yeah, plenty to look forward to, but most of all, glad to be back here on the Press Start podcast. So hopefully I won't leave you guys again. Without further ado, I'll introduce my guest. You'll know him from previous podcasts, FPG alumni and all-round good guy and gamer, Liam Morrow. Liam, how are you doing this fine evening?
Yeah, I'm good, mate, yeah. Yeah, everyone, I'm Liam. Stuart said I sort of do gaming stuff. I'll be doing podcasts just whenever, really, at the moment.
But yeah, you're more than welcome on Press Start anytime. Always good to chat to you, catch up and all that sort of thing. So yeah, if you want to catch us on Twitter, let us know what you think about our thoughts or comments throughout the show. I'm out after dark 216, and you'll find Liam at The Grimfish on Twitter as well. So hit us up, let us know that you've listened to the show. If you disagree, agree, think we've missed something out, or you just want to say hi, then by all means do. I follow back if you say hi, so, you know, it's all good. Starting to ramble on a little bit. I've had a mental day. I'm sure a lot of you have. So wherever you're listening to this, I reckon you don't want to hear about it. I think you want to hear us talk about video games. So considering it's been a few weeks since we last talked in any way, shape or form about games, we're sort of hitting the what tends to be a traditional sort of drought period for games, in that, you know, there's not a great deal of summer releases. People know that people are going on holiday, or sorry, developers know people are going on holiday and that kind of thing. And it's not really the sort of time to put a massive sort of AAA release out. But I feel 2017 is shaping up to be really grim for a few months. I mean, with the exception of probably, you know, Wildlands, Mass Effect, you're looking at Prey, which has come out today, certainly in the UK, as being like the sort of big release. Obviously, last week as well, there was Little Nightmares, which is a sort of really hyped indie game. And I think the week before that as well was Outlast 2. Now, if you're in any way, shape or form like me, and you're an absolute shite bag when it comes to any sort of horror in your games, none of these are going to be for you. So I am currently sticking with Bulletstorm, which I'm basically finished with. I got stuck and put it down. I'm wanting to polish off the rest of the achievements for Ghost Recon Wildlands. But if you weren't excited for Prey, what is there next? I mean, in a couple of weeks there is a big release. I know it's one that you're looking quite forward to, Liam. I tentatively am, but it's a fighting game. So there comes a point where how much can you really get out of a fighting game? I mean, certainly for me, it's kind of pick up and play, but then put down just as easily. Like, I don't spend hours and hours sinking time into these games. Like, I'll have a quick bit of fun with them. I'll play them when mates are around, because they're generally the only sort of same screen two player that you get anymore. And that's Injustice 2, the DC fighting game. So, Liam, are you looking forward to Injustice 2? Is it one you're going to pick up full price, or?
I don't know if it's going to be a sort of day one pickup, mainly because I can't really afford it. I've played the first one and it really surprised me with the story.
Yeah.
It was like a good original story, not sort of based on any sort of DC franchise. And yeah, the sort of mechanics were pretty good. It was based off of Mortal Kombat 10 or X, however you want to say it.
Yeah.
Sort of all the characters were pretty good, and I'm just thinking, you know, they can do that on the 360, they can do it better on the Xbox One.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of my draw to it, is that I actually really enjoyed Injustice. Like, I'm not good at fighting games. As we speak, I'm sitting watching my sale copy of Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which we'll actually get to in a little bit of time. The new release from that series, but I'm watching that download. But I know it's going to be a quick sort of muck around while I'm waiting for people to come online to play Wildlands with me, sort of release. And not one that I think I'm going to be able to justify putting, you know, £50 down on for some time. I think maybe £25 is about my limit for a fighting game. Which is a shame, because it was really good. The first one was really good. I didn't get that straight away either. I waited on that. There's lots of good characters being released, but I've noticed this has pissed me off, actually, because today they released a DLC trailer for a game with three DLC fighters. Now, I've not watched the trailer. I don't know who they've announced. But for them to be hyping DLC, you know, almost 2 weeks before the game comes out, I think that's bullshit. To be completely honest, I think it's absolute bullshit. So, I don't know what you think.
They all do it, though. That's the thing. They all do it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, DLC in games now.
It just seems to be the standard thing now. When you release a game, you release a trailer for upcoming DLC. This will be coming whenever, you know. See, and the only time it hasn't annoyed me was with The Witcher 3, because I knew those two sort of major bits of DLC were going to be amazing, like games in themselves almost.
Yeah, no, I think that's integral to this, actually, is the game in itself sort of thing. Now, to use Wildlands, listeners, you'll know that I've been playing this for, well, since release, I'm absolutely addicted to it. It's going to take something monumental to knock this off being my game of the year. The DLC for Wildlands is Narco Road. And actually, it's compared to the main game, it's not very good at all. But it is trying to do something completely different. It strips a lot back from you. It makes it a bit more sort of fast-paced, a little bit free-flowing. And it's different enough that I can go, do you know what? That's fair enough. Now, with a fighting game, the reason that annoys me, three new characters doesn't make a new bit of game. Like, you're not going to get, you know, what was Blood and Wine for The Witcher 3? There was something like 60 hours of content on that if you did everything.
It was huge.
That's absolutely fair enough. That is every single thing that you want DLC to be. And certainly sitting here in this current climate in gaming, you do expect there to be DLC with games. Like, again, not got an issue with that, but for a fighting game with a roster of X number of people on it, for them to then be teasing already, like, three new fighters, like, come on, man. Come on, put them in the real game. Like, it's actually, I find it worse than in the WWE games, because at least with those, you're getting new bits of music, new bits of new moves, that kind of thing. But yeah, for them to, it just feels like they're much more intentionally held back. Plus, with WWE, you've got people who maybe were signed after the cutoff, or they wanted to include after the cutoff for the game. So in the past year, possibly, say, like Shinsuke Nakamura, including him as DLC. Yeah, fine. Okay, can get that. Anyway.
Yeah, and you know, with, like, in regards to sort of fighting games, they had the new fighters as DLC, and you just know a year later they're going to release an Ultimate Edition that has them on the disc anyway. So,
well, this is it. I mean, I held off on getting Mortal Kombat X DLC. I held off on that for ages because, as I said already, fighting games and me, we don't get along too well. I like having a couple to muck around with. I ended up getting Mortal Kombat XL, which includes everything. Includes, you know, Freddy, Jason, Leatherface, Alien, all that sort of stuff, which is pretty cool. I got that for less than the DLC costs to download, and then I was able to sell my copy of Mortal Kombat X for like £3 less than I paid for Mortal Kombat XL. So, you know, I got all the DLC for like £3. So I'm happy with that, but, you know, anything more. I think each fighter pack was something like £9 or £10 for Mortal Kombat X. And that's just, unless you're really dedicated and you want to master everything.
Ugh. And then they had did they do a season pass?
No, it was all individual. I think it was, yeah, if memory serves me correctly, I don't know that there was a season pass for Mortal Kombat.
I only played the XL version. I never had sort of it when it originally got released, because I've never been a huge Mortal Kombat fan.
Yeah.
So I sort of held off a bit.
Yeah, so it was probably worth it. I'll say that right now. Now, just while we're on fighting games, the next game I want to talk about actually comes out before this one. But just sticking with fighting for the time being, there is obviously another massive release. Probably, I would say, more anticipated than Injustice 2 by a lot of people, certainly. And that's Tekken 7. Comes out for PC, PS4 and Xbox One on the 2nd of June. You said to me off air, Liam, you're excited about this one. Tekken's something I actually don't know an awful lot about, to be honest. It was never my fighting game of choice, even back in the day. So, explain why you're sort of more excited for this than Injustice.
I've played Tekken since I was like sort of 13, 14 on the original sort of PlayStation. I've had them all, I've played them all, I've loved them all, except for Tekken, I think it's Tekken 4.
Okay.
It's just like, it was rushed out, basically. But apart from that sort of little blight on him, the rest of them have been good. You've had this whole sort of overarching story of sort of the Mishimas and the Devil Gene and, you know, Heihachi trying to take over the world and Kazuya trying to stop him and stuff like that. Yeah. But outside of that, the fighting is good, and it's always sort of revolutionary every time they release a new title.
Yeah.
They always add something new. You know, I think they were the first one to do the sort of 3D running where you can move sideways.
Yeah, there's actually a couple of things, because something else came to mind when you said the revolutionary thing, and when you've said that, that makes two that I almost want to date check. Maybe if someone's listening and you can tell us actually which is the sort of first thing. Cause one I wanted to think of was like the sort of tag tournament one, you know, was that
tag tournament,
that before or after Marvel versus Capcom did it? I don't actually know. I'd need to date check that. But what you're saying about the 3D moving, I think Virtua Fighter for the Saturn came out before that. And again, I kind of want to fact check that, but I feel like it was a year beforehand.
I have to be honest, I never owned a Saturn, so I never played it.
Mm. Actually, really, really good fighting game. Really good fighting game. Really good fun. I still have a copy. I still have a Saturn for Virtua Fighter. So yeah, great game. But yeah, Tekken 7, obviously 2nd of June now. A week or so before that, there's a game that comes out. Now, I think this is kind of interesting, because I think they've missed a couple of good marketing points if they'd maybe held this release off a little bit. And that's something that's kind of snuck up a little, is Friday the 13th. Now, Friday the 13th has had a game port already. There was a NES game, Friday the 13th. You'll regularly see it on games, like lists on YouTube and stuff like that, because it's kind of renowned for sucking balls. It didn't really do much for the gamer or the franchise or Jason or anything like that. So this Friday the 13th, it's a full survival horror. It's a full release game. It's not indie. It's not going to be snuck out for £15 or anything like that on Xbox Live. It is coming out. Now, it's coming out on the 26th of May, which isn't a Friday the 13th, so I think that's a mistake. I feel like they should have waited until the next Friday the 13th. And depending on when that falls, Halloween. Put it out at Halloween. Like, I get you don't need to release.
That would make sense, yeah.
I know that you don't need to release survival horror games in October. Like, obviously we've got Prey has just come out today, Little Nightmares and Outlast 2 I mentioned at the top of the show, they've all come out within the last 4 weeks. But that's three horror titles within a month of each other. Within 8 weeks there's going to be another one. Now, I just don't feel like this is going to get the same sort of buzz as it could have if they'd actually picked like a sort of gimmicky release date for it. I feel like if they'd held this back until they could put it out on Friday the 13th or put it out for Halloween, I feel like there would have been more people picking it up for that reason. But yeah, like it's, I don't know. I feel like this sort of survival horror game I'd quite like to play. But I don't want to play. I mean, it's currently 7:30 in the evening. Like, I want to be kicking back with a couple of games, but I don't want to have to draw my curtains just to be able to, in any way, shape, or form, feel a little bit of atmosphere from a game. And yeah, it's a shame because it actually looks really good. But again, like I said, there's a good Scottish word for this: shitebag. And that's what I am with horror titles. So if I watch gameplay and it shows you if it's anything like, you know, sort of Resident Evil 7, and, you know, Jason just pops through walls at you and stuff like that, then I'll just nope my way home.
I don't play them for exactly the same reason. I'm not a horror fan, and I did play a game. Do you ever play a game called Fear?
Yes. Yeah. Didn't like that much.
Sort of, I played the second one of that, and actually, my wife watched me play that, and she doesn't do that often, but we both just almost shit ourselves quite often playing that.
Yeah, it's real. That's the one with Alma, isn't it?
Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah, I didn't make it far.
I've just got a collector's edition of that, and it's got an Alma statue.
Oh, that'd be kept in the box.
Yeah. And yeah, my wife said, "Yeah, that's going in spare room."
But yeah, after this, obviously, we're jumping forward a little bit. We have a couple of PS4 releases in June, and I say a couple of PS4 releases in June because other than this, there's actually Sweet FA coming out after Tekken 7. A few days later, there is a Wipeout Amiga collection, not to be confused with Amiga, this is Omega. Wipeout's really good fun. I do have a PS4, probably not going to be fun enough to make me actually dust it off. You'll know by this point, I'm pretty much stuck with Xbox One, as is Liam. And that's a shame because this looks pretty good. I'd like to play Wipeout again. And the other one is Crash Bandicoot. The Insane Trilogy is coming out. The remastered Crash Bandicoot collection is coming out at the end of June. So, with that being said, like, there's not really anything coming out for Xbox One. I mean, according to Metacritic, the only release at all here, other than indie games, is going to be Valkyria Revolution. I'm more impressed that there's people still playing Valkyrie games.
I've got to say, I don't know a lot about it myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like an action RPG. It's kind of faster-paced Final Fantasy. Up until Final Fantasy XV, to be honest. But yeah, it's sort of... If you ever played like Vagrant Story or something like that, it's more along those lines than Final Fantasy. Kind of moves a bit away from like the JRPG kind of roots. And yeah, actually, no, I'm saying that, you probably quite enjoy it. So maybe check the gameplay trailers for it, and I might might have picked you one of your Game of the Years inadvertently here. But yeah, like say, there's a big drought. I mean, if those of you who've got a Nintendo Switch, there's a few releases coming out for that. You've got an Ultra Street Fighter 2 coming out, as well as a few other releases. The sort of main big ones before the end of the year are going to be the new Mario, assuming that comes out before 2018, and Splatoon 2. Not played the first one, so can't really comment. And then we've got, in the middle of August, a game that keeps getting trailed on YouTube before gaming videos, and it's Agents of Mayhem. Have you seen any of the trailers for this, Liam?
No, I haven't. Until I sort of pulled up the Metacritic page, I didn't know what it was. It looks like maybe it's sort of like a Crackdown type of deal.
Yeah, it from the trailers, I mean, one thing I would say is that it is being published by Deep Silver, so take that as a warning, because Deep Silver don't always give you the best games. But they do have some pretty fun gems. They are responsible for Saints Row 4. And that's almost what this it looks kind of, like you say, it looks like Crackdown, Saints Row 4, maybe chucking in the sort of like Battleborn, kind of Overwatch dynamic as well a little bit. I think that there might have something like that to play in it. But yeah, it's a big, bright, chaotic trailer. And it might be all right. The problem with that is that it's a completely new IP coming out a week before probably the two biggest single-player games of the year so far. You know exactly what I'm going to say probably already, but you have Uncharted, the Lost Legacy, the new title in that series, the first one that has departed from Nathan Drake, I believe. But also, and this is the one for me, Shadow of War, Middle Earth. I cannot fucking wait for this game. Shadow of Mordor is an absolute masterpiece, and I genuinely can't wait for this. Now, my only worry is, it's still 3 months away. Like, I don't know how I'm going to get through 3 months grinding away at Wildlands, because I'm nearly done with that. I'm nearly done, and there's not enough else coming out to make me want to stick to my console through the summer. And as much as I like gaming, like if I put my controller down for a good period of time, it could take a while. I mean, I'm moving to Glasgow in 3 weeks, and the last time that I had a sort of big life change like that was around the sort of PS2 era when I moved out of home and into my first flat on my own. And I had a PS2 and I had San Andreas. And I played San Andreas for maybe 2 hours a week for about 2 years because I was just doing other things. And that's what I'm worried about here. That's kind of the point of this podcast almost, is I don't know what's getting me to August for a game I'm actually excited about. But enough about me and my rubbish. You looking forward to Shadow of War, Liam?
I am, very apprehensively.
That's interesting, okay.
Because, don't get me wrong, Shadow of Mordor, brilliant. Like, it's just such a good game on so many different things. But it was a bit of a sleeper hit. I think it sort of came out and people didn't expect it to be as good as it was. Because it's, let's face it, it's a game based off another property, which always suck, usually. So I'm hoping they haven't thought, Shadow of Mordor was so good, let's get Shadow of War, make it even better, and then kind of ruin it.
Yeah, no, they absolutely need to kind of stick with formula a little bit. I mean, my main criticism of Shadow of Mordor, I actually have two. Some people will probably disagree with one of them because it's a little bit like, well, you should just get good. And I find that there's quite a sharp difficulty spike quite early on in the game. I think that puts a lot of people off. I didn't realise it quite as much until I played it again, the Game of the Year edition. The Game of the Year edition, I found, gives you new achievements. So I thought that that was as good an excuse as I needed to replay it again. And I'm struggling, to be honest with you. Like, last time I picked it up, I was getting absolutely owned. And I can't remember what I did to get myself over that hump. Because, I mean, I finished it, which is actually my other criticism. The end of the game was absolutely dreadful. The final boss battle was appalling. It was stupid, it was convoluted, and it didn't really make a lot of sense. But if they can tweak those two things, I think it's going to be a masterpiece.
Yeah, I think the whole thing with sort of dying a lot is kind of like Dark Souls sort of thing. It's that part of the game. But yeah, I know what you mean. Like same as you. I had Shadow of Mordor. I played it. I loved it. Ending bit odd, but I thought, okay, let's run with it. Yeah, and I've got the Game of the Year edition, and it just, yeah, it's different. It seems to be a different difficulty level than what it was.
Yeah, so it's not just me. It does seem like a little bit harder, yeah?
Maybe they just added things that made it more difficult because people were complaining about it.
Maybe. I mean, it was weird because, like, I remember... you know, being able to take down a few orc captains and stuff quite early on. But now, like, if I find one of them, there's, like, three really close together and I just get my ass handed to me and then they all get stronger and just, oh, jeez, oh.
I'm being chased around by one. I've sort of stopped playing it for a while, but I'll probably pick it up again. And I can't work out how to kill him.
Yeah.
Like, you can't use an execution, you can't use long range, you can't use arrows, you can't use, assassinations.
Yeah.
I can't work out how to do it.
I'm sure there's one you need to kill by explosion, and I wonder if that's maybe him. Like, you need to wait until he's at, like, a campfire, and then smash him in the face, basically. I think I remember that. But like I say, really looking forward to Shadow of War. Definite pre-order for me. It's the next sort of truly single-player game I'm actually looking forward to, and that's 3 months. I mean, just having a look at sort of upcoming releases on the Xbox Marketplace as well, there's nothing really that exciting coming out in terms of indie games either. That are already up. I mean, there is going to be a new Dirt Rally game, Dirt 4, so hopefully it's slightly more arcadey, because as much as I loved Dirt Rally, it was the Dark Souls of driving games. It was absolutely unforgiving and put a lot of people off because it was so hardcore. And then you've got the other side of the coin on driving games, and you have a new Micro Machines port coming out as well at the end of July. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
I love Micro Machines.
See, so did I, which is another thing.
I've played it quite recently with my brother.
Oh, cool.
Well, I say recently, it was a few months ago now, but yeah, I say with no ego at all that I owned him.
Ryan, if you're listening, you got to get good, son, get good. But yeah, looking ahead before the end of the year, just before we wrap up, we do have, we've got a game I'm really looking forward to. It was meant to come out months ago, it didn't. It's meant to come out in a few months, it's still not been announced. I've got it pre-ordered, I've had it pre-ordered for almost a year now, and it's South Park, The Fractured Butthole. I've absolutely no idea what the holdup is on this game. I've seen gameplay of the Stick of Truth Xbox One release. It doesn't need to look any better than the game you already made, guys. It doesn't need to look any different, because South Park is South Park, and it doesn't need to be 4K Technicolor fucking fantasticness. It needs to be funny. And if that's the delay, then I refuse to believe it, because I can't see how writers who can have episodic TV show coming out genuinely weekly. Like, if you don't know this about South Park, they actually don't start writing the episode until the day after the previous one is aired, so it's as current as possible. I don't believe that they can't make this a funny game. So I don't know what the delay is, but please, Ubisoft, get this out before the end of the year, or I'm liable to go batshit crazy. The other two big releases that we've got are Call of Duty, the new Call of Duty. It's actually getting quite a lot of hype. I think it looks pretty good, Liam. I hate to say it, I think it looks pretty decent. What about you?
Call of Duty, I always sort of I just get put off by him every time. Like, I played, sort of, as I said before, I played the original sort of Modern Warfare, loved it. Then I started, I think it started with Call of Duty Ghosts, maybe.
Okay.
Or it might have been Black Ops, actually.
Yeah.
First Black Ops. And I sort of played that, played the single player game, and I was like, was that it, really? Yeah. And then went on to multiplayer, and because I'd stupidly played single player first, everyone else is already like sort of almost superhuman at it, and
yeah,
I just got put off by it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm completely put off by any sort of online shooters. I wanted to get Infinite Warfare just for the Modern Warfare remaster, until I found out you had to keep the disc in to be able to access the game. And even now, like, new, because it's a download code as well, so you can't really risk buying a second-hand copy of that version of the game. So you're needing to buy it new, and it's still sitting at like £40. I'm not paying that for a Call of Duty game that I just want to experience the single player again on, because it was a great game. And I think that with I can't remember if this one's Treyarch or not. I think it is. It's Sledgehammer. It's being developed by. That was the trailer starting as I checked there. but yeah, so I think with a sort of fairly new developer, and the fact that they're clearly ripping off Battlefield 1 anyway and going back to the sort of old school war roots, Battlefield 1 had a pretty comprehensive single player campaign. Like, it was almost worth a release on its own without even including the multiplayer. So hopefully they take notice from that. And another online game that we're actually getting the flip reverse of is Star Wars Battlefront 2. Battlefront sort of reboot came out a couple of years ago, or 18 months ago now, and was online only, much to the sort of chagrin of a lot of people, including myself. I'm not a massive Star Wars fan, but I did love me some Battlefront 2. So, yeah, I'd have bought Battlefront if it had the same sort of vibe to it. And with them announcing this is coming out in November time, with them announcing the sort of single-player campaign and that kind of thing, I'm really, really interested in this. What about yourself? You vibing with it, or are you?
Well, I didn't play the first one purely because it was online only.
Yeah.
And whenever those two words are put together, it instantly puts me off every time.
Yeah.
You know, last time I tried it, it was Destiny. I can see how it's a good game, but because it was online only, couldn't do it. But yeah, if they put in a single player and they make it a decent single player, not just something to keep a few more people happy, I think it could be sort of a big game.
Yeah, I think it will be pretty good, pretty big. I mean, just the sort of last one I want to talk about, completely overlooked it actually, and you just reminded me of it there. Destiny 2 comes out in September. Now, I am going to kind of pander to you a little bit here, because I feel like our attitude towards games is virtually identical in terms of a lot of things, like the horror game stance, the online stance, that kind of thing. Now, Destiny I really enjoyed once I got speaking to people. Like, you kind of need to be proactive on it to get people around you, because playing it with other people just makes it a whole other experience. I still don't like PvP at all, but I was able to get pretty damn good at Destiny and get a really, really long time out of it just by completely avoiding that anyway. Like, I still got pretty good loot without having to grind through PvP stuff in the Citadel and the arena and stuff. But yeah, Destiny 2, the trailer I think looks great. They've sort of given enough away that you know you're going to not be able to carry over your character. They've made that make sense, as opposed to just being, here's a new game, this is why you can't, or sorry, we're not telling you why you can't carry over your character. They've explained that with the first trailer for this game. The Citadel's destroyed, things have been stolen, things have been taken, and the Guardians have lost their abilities. So, great. That makes sense. That's perfectly reasonable to me. So I think, given the upcoming releases, unless something is announced completely out of nowhere, like obviously E3's around the corner, so there might be something that really catches us all by surprise, where they do what they did a few years ago, and I'm saying this pure hope, and they announce a new Fallout game, for example, to come out in a couple of months' time, that'd be great. But assuming that these are releases for the year, I think there's maybe three games for the rest of the year. You know, this is still only May. There's still 7 months left in this year. There's three games that I'm counting as I am going to buy those, and I'm probably going to buy them as soon as they come out. And when one of them is Injustice, just because I've got a hole in my pocket money-wise and I'll have not bought a game for ages, it's not looking a good year for games, I don't think. I hate to say that.
No, I'm the same as you. I'm only sort of looking at three, maybe four, if I look at Marvel v. Capcom Infinite.
Yeah.
Traditionally, I'm not a huge sort of Street Fighter-y fan. But, you know, the premise of sort of teaming up, you know, Hulk and Ryu against Leon from Resident Evil and Mega Man, like that.
Yeah.
That might be enough to sway me.
Yeah, no, that does sound pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, but so.
Looking through, there's not many others that I can see that sort of jump out at me.
No, half of them exactly. I've
never even heard of, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. I think that says quite a lot. Now, I don't know, listeners, if you have anything that you think we've missed or you think that we're criminally overlooking, then please get in touch. I gave you our Twitter handles at the top of the show, but once again, you want to find me, Stuart is Out After Dark 216, and you have Liam at The Grim Fish on Twitter. So yeah, by all means, get in touch with us. Let us know if you think we're talking shit and you can't believe we forgot or aren't looking forward to this. Tell us, just let us know. Liam, thanks for coming on. I'll let you say just a quick goodbye to everyone.
Yeah, cheers everyone. Stuart said The Grim Fish on Twitter, just drop me a line. After this, I'm probably going to play Telltale's Guardians of the Galaxy, which I just got today.
Oh, okay. Is it worth it?
So, I've started it and pretty good so far.
Okay.
But, you know, Telltale games have never let me down yet, so.
Fair enough. See, I think they did with Batman a little bit. I thought the first episode of that was really good, and then after that, I actually played the first two episodes without paying any attention. I was, like, doing other things and just hitting buttons for the last two episodes of it. So, yeah, I don't think I'm going to pick this up. I'm not a massive Guardians of the Galaxy fan, although I've still not seen the second one, so maybe...
Maybe
I'll go and see that and I'll feel inspired to give them a little bit more of my money. But yeah, as I say, that is it for this week. I will not vanish without telling you guys again, I promise. But yeah, hopefully get Liam back on soon. As for everyone else, see you in 7. Peace out.